Hey, it's syndicated radio talk show host, author, singer, Al Cole, welcoming you to another edition of People of Distinction, the talk that gives an in-depth view of some of the most dynamic, intelligent, and successful people on the planet. I come from CBS Radio. My shows are nationally syndicated, and I've helped pave the way to treating women, guys too, with the dignity that they deserve, and I do that in many ways. Through Apple. Yeah, my shows are aired on the biggest network out there, airing CBS shows and also Fox News, NPR, BBC, the whole kit and caboodle. And even C-SPAN. Yeah, can't forget the great C-SPAN as well. All on Apple's iTunes radio network under News Talk. And with my shows, I have distinctive people from all over the planet coming on and speaking their piece about something that is going to edify you. Some of the positive things that are going on in our world, and sometimes some of the not-so-positive things that we can do something positively about. And also, I'm a media consultant coming from CBS Radio. I help people nationally, internationally, to framework their messages in really great, gripping ways to the public and teach them how to interview to their finest. And to make a profit from it, too. There are ways to profit from interviewing all over the planet, and digital media in general, podcasting, everything. People are going to do a lot of talk. Come to me for media consulting, and I help them out that way. Also, I have my own broadcasting network, Al Cole Broadcasting Network, under Apple's iTunes radio network. So it gets a lot of feature for independent podcasters as well. Want to get their wares out there. And Dee Wallace, the international actress who starred in Steven Spielberg's E.T., the extraterrestrial, is one of my talk show clients. I also have national alliances with some pretty big people out there, including Arianna Huffington of the Huffington Post and her Thrive Global Network. I'm a New York Times bestselling author with Chicken Soup for the Soul, and Chicken Soup for the Soul is distributed by CBS's Simon & Schuster. So we keep it in the family that way. Visit my website for more info on me. That's peopleofdistinction.org, peopleofdistinction.org. And you can see all of my unsung heroes. Since 2013, my People of Distinction Humanitarian Awards events have been a winner in New York City, Capitol Hill, to members of the U.S. Congress, and also on in Atlanta and Florida as well. So, boy, we love that with People of Distinction. And you can email me on any of your questions, anything I can help you out with, maybe media consulting or whatever. And you can email me at alcoholic@gmail.com. You heard me right. That's alcoholic@gmail.com. And I really want to thank my CBS radio listeners for coming up with that handle, Alcoholic. Seems like from day one, my listeners have been saying, Al, we love what you're doing there, brother. In fact, we're hooked on it. We're Alcoholics. Coming up, a lady that you're going to love. Her name is Erin Olson, and Erin's written a provocative new book, Spiritual Orphans, A Generation in Crisis. Okay, so we can break that down and understand a little bit about what that means and what's coming up with Erin. We are all spiritual beings. I think we buy into that pretty much in our society with not only the religion directions, but also just the way that we know that, wow, boy, there's something else happening. And that happens right from the moment of our birth. We're babies. We come out and we say, wow, I'm here. I'm alive. I made it. Greatest blessing in the world is to be alive at all. And then we can go downhill after that. Societal pressures and all of this stuff. And after a while, we're not spiritual anymore. We're kind of like orphans of the spiritual force that got us here. She's going to be talking about that. And she's going to be talking particularly about a generation of spiritual orphans in crisis. Yeah, it could be you. And so stick around if you're looking for a new direction here or just to re-remember your old or current direction. Yeah. Erin's going to be the one who can help you out with Spiritual Orphans, A Generation in Crisis. And I want you to order that book at Amazon. And also remember the source that got us here in the first place. And that's Parchment Global Publishing. Parchment Global Publishing brought Erin to my show. And they're a great publishing group internationally that can help you with your book as well. So go to their website, parchmentglobalpublishing.com, and get involved. Welcome, Erin, to People of Distinction with Al Cole. It's a pleasure to have you on today. How are you, Erin?
Thank you very much for having me.
Now, let's talk about it here. We know, my listeners particularly, are pretty deep, and they can get into spiritual directions. You're talking about something that has spiritual import right from the get-go, and I agree with it. Spirituality is so important to our lives. And you're talking about a lost generation, maybe. I'm putting it my way right now. A lost generation who are spiritual orphans because the spirituality from whence they came has been somehow misplaced, misguided, lost in their lives. And maybe there are some directions that you can pick up on, and my listeners through you can pick up on, of helping some of our spiritual orphans in this world, that whole generation in crisis. So tell us a little bit about that. Broach the subject, spiritual orphans, a generation in crisis. What's your book really about here, Erin, in your terminology?
All right. Well, a little bit about my book. I really was compelled to write this book shortly after the bombings in Manchester, England, at the Ariana Grande concert. And I was really, really sort of disturbed by the way that I saw Christians responding to that event. And I thought, wow, if we're responding and talking about people that way as Christians, where are our hearts? And are our hearts aligned with Jesus's heart for people? And so that took me on a journey of a couple of years, actually. It took me to write this book. And I think it's because it's a heavy topic. And it's a topic that I didn't want to necessarily write because I felt like I was bringing judgment upon the church, the capital C church, but also it was convicting to me about how I respond to people who aren't walking in a Christian manner or Christians at all. Mm-hmm. And so it was a little bit of soul searching for me, but also really just hearing stories and listening to people and observing how people are responding or aren't responding that motivated me to continue to finish this book and get it out there for everybody to read.
I get it. All right. So you're talking about, I'm putting it, of course, my terminology, but I think it crosses over to yours, a little bit of compassion in our world, empathy, and possibly commiseration, understanding other people's plight at certain points, be able to communicate to people on that basis, and we can help each other more as friends than as enemies. So we'd like the message. Tell us a little bit about how we can go about that, in your estimation, communicating a little bit better, spiritually particularly. How do we do that, Erin?
Yes, well, Jesus was compassionate. Everything he did was filled with compassion. And right before he left this earth, he said that we are to love God and we are to love others. And we need to love God, and loving God means fearing God. We need to be fearful of the God of this universe, the one who keeps the earth moving in the direction it needs to go and providing for us and doing all of those things. And so the fear of God, the reverent fear of his awesomeness, leads us to love others. Loving others doesn't mean affirming everything, but loving others means to show them compassion and show them what Jesus would have done for them or said to them. Jesus dined with a lot of sinners, people that nobody else would talk to, nobody else would touch. And Jesus did that. And so we as Christians today, we need to be the same kind of people who love those who may not be loved by others and show them Jesus's love for them.
Yes, absolutely. I agree. And with the title of your book, Spiritual Orphans, you're indicating that not only have we maybe misplaced or lost that particular gift of compassion, it is a gift from that guiding force that got us here, but also we're a generation in crisis. What do you mean by a generation in crisis? Are you talking about the entire planet of different generations that are living right now, or a specific generation? Do you have maybe the millennials in mind, or Gen X, or what do you really mean by a generation in crisis, Erin?
Well, I'm talking about all the current generations that coexist today, so the whole planet. it says in the Bible that before Jesus returns, before his second coming, things are going to get much worse. But we also see throughout the Bible, specifically in the Old Testament, where God was about to do something to a generation of people, but because of the response of the people, his plan did not go into effect. He didn't wipe out people. He didn't destroy them. He gave them a chance to turn around and say, God, you are God, and we're going to respect you, and we're going to revere you, and we're going to do what you say to do. And he saved them, and he kept them going for another generation. What that next generation did was up to them. And so what we do now is up to us. We are spiritually separated from God, the one who created us, knit us together in our mother's wombs, is what the Bible says, until we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. It says in Ephesians 1:4-5, that we are then and only then adopted into God's family. Do we become his child, an heir of his kingdom, once we believe and accept Jesus Christ as our Savior? So we can't expect, the Bible says, for people to know what it means to be a follower of Christ, to know the things of God, unless we have become a child of God. And there's only one way to do that.
Yes. And there's only one way you can order that book
on
People of Distinction. And that's through Amazon, Amazon.com. You want to order Spiritual Orphans, A Generation in Crisis, from our special guest today, Aaron Olson, who is talking a lot of sense. And I'm going to underscore some of the sense with a couple of sense of my own right now. Hey, we're talking about love. Aaron had mentioned a couple of times in her explications, love. Love is the seat to this. She mentioned the fear of God can lead to love in our society. We have that very special imprint within our spirits of understanding what love is, knowing that there is such a thing as love to begin with. Now, this is People of Distinction talk right now. It's not necessarily putting words in Aaron's mouth, although I don't think that she would disagree. It goes out to you, my listening audience. If you believe that love is the most important thing in your life, you must also know that you're not spending enough time on love. See, love is so important that it consumes our time, or should. And when other things intervene that we call, hey, everyday average, things we got to take care of business-wise, our families, but we don't get to see our families as much as we want to. Why? Because we're out there making a living. We are making a living sometimes with sacrificing living life. You understand what I'm talking about, people? We need to understand our priorities a little bit better. I don't think that there's anybody on the planet who would say, I don't need love. Love is for kids. Love is for sissies. I want to go out there and hate. I love hating. Well, maybe you love something right there. Love is something very, very important in our lives. And we have to prioritize sometimes. We need to make those tough decisions. We've heard of tough love. Well, sometimes there are tough decisions that we have to make to accomplish some of the love that we've been given, that endowment, by the creative force right from the get-go. And that might mean staying home a little bit more with your family. That might mean, sacrificing a raise because you know that that raise might be good for business, but the business of life is going to suffer. So we need to put those priorities of love together a little bit better in our lives. That might be one of the things that Aaron might be touching on, among so many other things. Is that one of the things, Aaron? Prioritizing what is really important in our love, in our lives, love-wise. Would that be one of the things that we have to focus on a little bit more spiritually?
Definitely. Love is reflected in how we view people and how we treat people. And so if we really love people, we really care about them. We care about them physically and we care about them spiritually. And of course, from my perspective, spiritually is way more important than physical. Our physical comes and goes, but our spiritual is forever. So love is reflective of our hearts, and what is in our heart needs to be good. And only when it's good will this world turn back to being 100% good instead of just a minority of good. Mm-hmm. And we'll see lots more stories in the news about the good things as opposed to all the horrible things that we have to hear about every day.
Absolutely. And now I'm going to pose a tough question to you. That is not really coming from me. It's coming from my listeners right now. My listeners are representative of, you know, a lot of the people, everyday people of the world. And particularly in the United States right now, a lot of contentiousness. Left, right, conservative, liberal, this, that, Republican, Democrat. It goes on and on and on and on. And some people are asking the question, well, spiritual crises are, you know, that's just another thing that's going on in our world, and particularly in the United States these days. And there are people who are Christians, who are well-meaning Christians, that might not put the message out there in the way that certain people think it should be put, and that could cause contentiousness right there. Now, this is a big, big factor. Sometimes it's in the way that we communicate messages, and sometimes the message itself can be lost if we miscommunicate it. With many people who are well-meaning Christians and want to get that well-meaning answer into people's hearts, what are some of the best ways to communicate that? And I will say that you started out that way with something that was going on that you didn't particularly agree with, the way it was being handled, maybe particularly by Christians. What are some of the best ways to communicate the messages of Christianity to people who might be Christians as well, but maybe they're walking a different walk with Christianity? Tell us some of your ways to get it out there very effectively.
I think the best way that we get out the best message of Christianity is to live it. Mm-hmm. I'm reminded as I was reading my Bible earlier today that Jesus healed a lot of people, and initially people stuck around because Jesus healed people and they wanted to get healed, or they were happy they got healed. But they ultimately stuck around because of him, because of just being with him was like being with breath, being with this freshness, something they hadn't experienced before, because the Pharisees, while they were religious, they were super hypocritical. And so I think us today, we need to be people that people want to be around. We want to be people that have this thing about us, that this indescribable joy, just this magnetism that people are attracted to us because of the way we live. I grew up with parents who said, do as I say, not as I do. And that's completely wrong. People mm-hmm. need to do what we do, not what we say. Like, let's not say that we love Jesus, but then post a really bad Facebook comment or make a comment at a table at a restaurant where somebody sitting next to us might overhear it and take it the wrong way. No, we need to be people who live like Christ did. And he was contentious. I mean, he was contentious. There was a lot of fighting and a lot of, arguing going on when the Pharisees clashed with Jesus and with his disciples. So make no mistake, there's going to be contention because the gospel is contentious, but the gospel is filled with grace for those who will hear it and believe it and receive it.
Well, you know what? I'm right on board with that. And I know my listeners are too. And I want, again, you, my listening audience, to get on board with this book, Spiritual Orphans, A Generation in Crisis, by our special guest here today on People of Distinction, Aaron Olson. And you can grab that book at Amazon.com. Again, that's Spiritual Orphans, A Generation in Crisis, Amazon.com. Now, we're going to close it out here with some possibility thinking, Aaron. I end all of my shows in the last minutes with possibility thinking. It's a way to encapsulate both the information as well as the inspiration of any guests who are talking about the inspiring things in terms of what if. What if whatever my guest was talking about came to pass in our world? Not so much spiritual orphans, but the spiritually enlightened. If everything that you were talking about, Aaron, that I'm sure we all agree with, the positive take, the compassionate take, the loving take to life, the more Christian understanding of what Jesus really stood for. Let's say that that happened. And, of course, many Christians are looking forward to that happening. Let's say it happened at some point in our human evolution. Could be 50 years from now, 100 years from now, could be next week. What kind of world would that look like that it doesn't look like now, Erin?
It would look like a world where my children, I have three young children, mm-hmm. and my grandchildren, they would actually be able to go out into this world and not be afraid to go to school. Not be able to go to be afraid and go to a public place any longer, and just not be afraid. We live in a time where it's a fearful time, where you can't go to the movie theater, you can't go to Walmart, you don't know what's going to happen. People have completely lost their compass, and their compass is turned every which way but north, to the true north. And I think that if people really did start loving one another better, that we could see a world filled with peace. And it starts with loving God first. We can't, the Bible says, if my people will humble themselves and pray and return to me, we have to return to him, because he is everyone's moral compass, regardless of whether or not you know him as a personal God to you. He is our moral compass. And until we can get in line with that moral compass, we make bad decisions, and we're all fall short of the glory of God, and we're all sinners. And that's why Jesus had to come. And so I don't think that without it, we won't be at peace. We can't be at rest. There are times in the past where there were times of peace and rest, and it wasn't man-made. It was God-made. And we can do that again. We just have to pull together and recognize our need for him, and leave this world a better place than what we know it as now, in so many different ways. But most importantly, with our relationships with people. Mm-hmm. We're really hurting our relationships with people by the way we treat people. And until we can treat people better, it's just going to be an ugly world. And I'm kind of tired of living in the ugly, and I don't want my children to live in the ugly anymore.
There you go. There you go. Yeah, we agree with you 100% there, Erin. And I'm going to cap off the show with a certain reflection of my own that will underscore all the great words that Erin was just telling us in terms of where our planet could be if we loved a little bit more. Now, you know, sometimes we're doing it periodically in our lives anyway, people. We're loving, especially in our greatest love relationships, with our family particularly, you know, our spouses, the mother, father, the sister, brother, the kids, and even that best friend. When we love somebody, we want to not only be the very best that we can be. I mean, you know, we hear that phrase bandied about. Not a bad phrase. But we want to be the very best that somebody else can be. Yeah, that person that we love. Honey, how can I help you? How can I help you to achieve some of the hopes, the dreams that you want to achieve? Because you're worth it. And because I love you so much, I want to help out. Okay, we do that periodically in our finest love relationships. If we go a step farther into our human family, well, some people are going to say, well, you know, we can't help out everybody, Al. You know that. Yeah, I know that. And yet we can. Through prayer. Now, that's another element here, and it's very Christian. Everybody prays sometime for something. Generally, when we pray, we're praying for ourselves. Hey, oh God, please help me out of this one. Boy, if you help me out, I'll never do it again. Or we're praying for a loved one. Yeah, please help out Uncle Jim or Aunt Joan. Boy, you know, they need your help right now. Well, let's go a step farther, people. Tonight, when you say a prayer for you or one of your loved ones, also include somebody that you don't know. Whoa. Now, yeah, a lot of you are going to say, Al, wow, I never heard that before. Yeah, boy, I think that's a good idea. Well, it's a great idea. You know why? Because partially what's going on is energy with communication. We know that. Ever since Einstein and even before, we've been thinking, yeah, you know, human beings are energy creations. Well, we are. We say a prayer or we do anything positive for somebody. We're giving them that, we call it good vibes. Yeah, and that good energy. Well, why not give some good energy to somebody that you don't know? Now, that's really Christian. You can help somebody somewhere just by closing your eyes and saying, help this person. I'm not even sure that the name is right here. Make up a name and shoot it out to somebody. But before you do that, put it in a loved one's name. My prayer of love to, you know, to Judy someplace goes out in the name of my Uncle Jim, yeah, who needs a prayer himself. And he wants to make a love prayer to somebody else. And that love prayer will go out to Judy. Judy will somehow be touched by it and send that prayer back out to my Uncle Jim. And maybe send it out to a whole bunch of other people in our world. Well, we start that way. That's very simple. And we can all achieve that. And we don't have to achieve, you know, all the big things that, you know, getting involved with the political process, the social process, getting involved in organizations and everything, unless we want to. And certain people do, but we all don't have the time for that. But we all do have the time for prayer. So say a prayer for somebody that you don't know and put it in the name of love, of a heart and soul that you do know. And I think this world will, well, it's another way to make this world a better place. That's the People of Distinction way. And we talk about that all the time on People of Distinction with Al Cole. And especially when we have a great guest like Aaron Olson, Spiritual Orphans, A Generation in Crisis. One more time, order that book at Amazon. And one more time, if you need a book publisher yourself, Parchment Global Publishing is the place to go. They're going to help you with your book and take that personal approach with you to really move your book your way. ParchmentGlobalPublishing.com. That's where you want to go for that. Thank you so much, Aaron, for being my special guest here today on People of Distinction with Al Cole. It has certainly been my pleasure. Thank you so much, Aaron.
Thank you for having me. That was great. Thanks so much.